Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
The Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. Oh, man, it's the Sabbath day. It's another Sabbath, man. I mean, all praise to the Most High God. Man, peace and joy to everyone on your favor, man, on your feast day. I hope that everybody received the message that they're supposed to get from God. I hope everyone received it, whatever it may be. And, man, all praises. Anyway, we're going to get into this, man. We're still in the creation. We're still dealing with the first day, and we're dealing with heaven. Just a very brief synopsis of what we've been dealing with. Well, we dealt with God. Got, you know, eternity, where it came from. I mean, they start from nowhere, nothing, you know. Gravity, God. Now we're talking about heaven. Where did it come from? Well, where did he get it from? Himself, you know. Where Moses said that the Lord our God is a consuming fire. So when we looked at heaven, where else did he create it from but himself? So he made it a consuming fire. He called it the stone of fire. We read that. We read a lot of those things. We're going to read a little more of it today. We're not going to go as far into detail about, you know, the elements and all of those things, but just as a reminder, you know, because some things are going to take place in heaven that still take place even now, that's going on today. And that's what we're going to get into. That's what's going on right now today in heaven. What do you mean? Well, we know God dwells in heaven. We know the angels are in heaven. We know that there is a place in heaven called New Jerusalem. What is it? Is it a city? What is it? Is it a city? Is it a temple? What is it? It can't be the temple because the city came down and didn't need a temple. So whatever we're going to read about is something totally different from the new city, right? Amen. So, with that being said, I'm going to ask everyone, if you can, stand and face Jerusalem as we open up and oppose God. Brothers, if you can uncover your heads, and sisters, if you can cover your heads as we approach the Father.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their family. And Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light, your kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth your Holy Spirit and give us a mind to perceive, eyes to see and ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. And Father, have mercy on them that hear us and send forth the Spirit upon them as well, and give them a mind to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear, and a mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, for your mercies endure forever. Amen. Amen. So we are in the creation right now. We're in the creation. We're in what we call the first day. And there's a lot of things that took place in the first day. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 1 through 5. Genesis 1 through 5. And then I'm going to read what he did in this day, but we're not going to cover everything in the 1 through 5. We're going to just kind of cover that, you know, it's a lot going on here. So, and it says, there's a verse 1 that says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Brothers and sisters, we are reading the first day. We're reading the first day right now. We are reading about the things that belong to the first day. And look at all these elements took place. Man, you got the beginning. Well, what is that? Right, well, we went through that. And then it says this, that God, well, who is he? And cover that. And then he said, you know, and then we got heaven, and then you got these things, where it came from, the household. And now we, the cause and effect and the reason thereof, you know, now, which is why we, at this point, we are in the cause and effect or the reason thereof. Why is there a heaven right now? You know, because he said he created earth for man, and heavens for himself. So why did he do that? That's the question. That's what we're going to get into. That's what we're going to read about right now. So let's start this back at Genesis chapter 1, and it says this, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. All right, so now he created heaven. How? How did he create heaven? Hey, Rick, you about to know. Are you going to read for me?
Yeah.
I don't think you should want to show up. Okay. All right, well, hurry up. Thank you. Cute dress. So, he said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, right? So, now let's go into Psalm 115. Psalms 115. And I think I want to pick it up. Let's see. Let's see. Okay, Psalms 115 and verse 15. And he said this, he said, ye are blessed of the Lord which made
heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heaven ends, are the Lord's, but the earth have you given to the children of man. So you see right here there's a distinction. He said this, he said, there's a reason for he gave heaven. He said the heavens belong to God. Well, that's a purpose. He just gave heaven a purpose. You belong to me. So he gave heaven a purpose. So what's the purpose of heaven? That's the whole thing, because remember now, earth isn't created yet. Earth isn't created yet. That's the difference. So we're still dealing with heaven right now. Yeah, earth hasn't been created yet. Why was heaven now created? You know, because this is the thing. Where did he get it from? Where did heaven come from? Well, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24. Deuteronomy's 4 and 24. And it says this: for the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. So we just found out that God is a consuming fire. So that's where heaven came from, because we found out that heaven is a consuming fire. It's a place of fire. It's somewhere that man can't exist. That's why he said, when we read in the Psalms, he said, heavens are the Lord. Why? Because man can't exist there. Flesh and blood cannot exist in fire. It's just the way it is. You see, heaven is for God. To a purpose. Obviously created for a reason, right? He created it for a reason. What is the reason thereof? Let's go into Revelation chapter 11 and verse 19. Revelation 11 and verse 19, and it reads,
Revelation 11 and verse 19 reads, and the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail.
So God got a temple in heaven, right? So this isn't, all right, so let's not mix this with this, right? Go to Revelation chapter, 21. Revelation 21 and verse 21. We receive
the read. Revelation chapter 21, verse 21 reads, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold.
So now we see this, the heaven has a foundation. As we covered in earlier precepts, the heaven has a foundation. We're kind of touching on it now. We're not going into it. But it's gold in the foundation, just like it is in earth. Well, why would it be? Because it's in heaven. We came from heaven, right? The earth is from heaven, so it would have the elements of heaven, like gold and jewels and precious jewels and things like that, and an eternal fire, you know, itself. You know, the difference between eternal fire and heaven is that heaven has no crust. It doesn't have flesh. You know, it's just a fire itself, you know. Whereas the earth, it has a fire, but it has a crust, that is to say the flesh. So that's the difference between heaven and earth. Heaven and earth are both eternal. Both of them is created from God, but one has flesh, which is the earth. And that's what we are created from, you see. So, and I always like to bring this up to my flat earth believers that believe in God and the God of Israel. You know, if the earth is flat, then where the pearls came from? Yeah, this hit your brakes right there. Where the pearls came from? Where did the pearls come from? You see. It's destiny. Look like the pearls are round. If the earth is flat, then why would the pearls be round? Saying that he showed us that it take a clam to mold a pearl, and it's a perfect circular, perfect 360-degree diameter. It is, it's like the clam has been giving the architect design of heaven. Go figure. 360. We covered that. You know, what do you mean? Well, without north, south, east, and west, you don't have a 360. You just have everywhere. When north, south, east, and west came into the picture, then you start getting government. You start getting government. What do you mean? Now you got a circular north, south, east, and west. You got a containment. You just created a containment field. You just created a containment field of nothing, which brought gravity from nothing. North, south, east, and west. This is why you got that circular, that round all the time. That circle, that's why all the planets is round. That's why everything is circular. That's why your clock is round. That's why you keep having a winter and a summer, because you go around. Summer, winter, summer, winter, summer, winter. Around and around and around we go. That's what it is. So a pearl is made in heaven in 360. Which is a testimony of the heavens. Imagine that, and that's on the gate. Right? Continue.
Revelation 21:21, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it.
Stop. So where did the temple come from? You see? That's that thing. So there's no temple in New Jerusalem on a planet, but it is in heaven. It's a temple in heaven. It's a temple in heaven. That's what God is. It's a temple in heaven. That's what we read in Revelation chapter 11. And the temple of heaven was open. That's what God is. That's what God and the Father, God, well, let's look at this. Let's go into Psalms chapter 110. Psalms 110 and verse 1. Psalms 110 and verse 1. When you see it, read.
Psalms 110 and verse 1 reads, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast dew of thy youth. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike the king in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head.
Read that for again.
Verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Where does the order of Melchizedek come from? That's the question. What is the order of Melchizedek and where did it come from? Because obviously Melchizedek or the priest of Melchizedek, this is the, where is that? Where did he sit down at? The Lord said, and the Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. So he sat down in the temple with the Father. Melchizedek, Jesus Christ, 21st century. Melchizedek, 21st century, is Jesus Christ. And he sat right down at the right. I ain't talking about the one, that pictorial picture you've been taught throughout time, you know. And I ain't even go through the Gulliver travels and all that, you know. What we're dealing with right now is just way beyond that. My point being is this, is that we need to stay on what it is and the matters of that he is Melchizedek. So what image that you create in your mind, whoever this Jesus dude is, forget about that. Let's just deal with this book, who, what his job is. This is, look at that. Forget the body and the image of fro and or the blonde hair or whatever you want. Forget all that. Just look at his job. He said this. He said in 4, the Lord, the Father, and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Melchizedek is the only one that can sit at the right hand. Because he says this in verse 5. Read that 5.
Verse 5. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike thee king in the day of his reign.
That's him. So he's the only one at his right hand. You can't have two right hands. Either he's on the left, either Jesus on the left, or Melchizedek is on the left. Either Jesus is on the right hand, or Melchizedek is on the right hand, or either one, are they one and the same? Now, once again, I'm asking you to erase the images that's in your mind, or the interpretations of speech, which is the J and the Y, and let's deal with the work. So he's sitting down. It's only one place for this entity can do is sit next to him. Who is this? He said he the priest of the Most High God. Go to Genesis chapter 14. Genesis 14 and verse 18. Well, actually, I guess I got to read the, no, read 18. I don't even remember that. So, 18.
Genesis 14 and 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God.
Stop. So whoever this Melchizedek is sat down at the right hand of God, right? It's only one right hand. So you can't have two Melchizedek sitting there. You can't have this dude and then Jesus Christ, right? That's ridiculous. So what you're going to have is this guy sitting on the right hand of God. You're going to have Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of God as the same person. Now, the only reason why we're using the name of Jesus is because, well, there's no other name given under heaven at this time that's going to deliver. So we be here, you know. So that's the law. That's in the Bible. You can change it if you want to. That's between you and him. As long as I read it for what it is, we good. So he did what? Brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. Well, let's look at that. Let's go into Matthew's 26. Matthew's 26. And pick it up at verse 9. I want to pick it up at... Wow. 26:17.
Matthew chapter 26 and verse 17 reads, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover?"
There it is. So now, here comes the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, and the disciples came to Jesus, saying on the hill, "Where wilt thou that we prepare to eat the Passover?" Wait a minute, I thought the first day of unleavened bread is tomorrow, the 15th day. Why is this here? Right? Oh, maybe, my bad. The scriptures is broken, and I don't have to understand. My understanding is beyond what the scriptures is written. All right, that's cool. Have it your way. But I'm gonna read what the scriptures say. I'm gonna say the scriptures is correct. And as far as I'm concerned, the scriptures has testified in themselves that there are more than one witness that says that the Passover is the first day of feast of unleavened bread. Without going into the nature of it, we are here for one purpose, and that is the Melchizedek priesthood. Now, what is he? Now, we got the feast of the unleavened bread. So Melchizedek priesthood isn't about now. The Melchizedek priesthood is about now to a degree, because the priesthood now is of bread and wine. That's why you don't have to sacrifice a lamb anymore. Not to say you ain't supposed to have a Passover dinner or a feast. Say you have a Passover feast. I mean, throw down, throw it big, have it nice, you know, have a lamb, have steaks, have whatever. You know, just know this. None of it can't stick around until the morning, so you better be cautious how much you're going to cook, right? Because you got to throw it away. So you be easy on it, whatever it is. You know, hey, man, you fix you a pot of lentil. You know what I'm saying? For the Passover. You know, something like that. It, I mean, easy peasy, man. You know what I'm saying? So this is that thing. So this is Melchizedek's season right here. It is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. This is his season. Watch this. Read on. What is he the priest of? This testimony. Watch this. He is the priest of the Most High God. Watch this. Read on.
Matthew 26 and verse 18 reads, "And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover.
Okay, so now evening is there, and he's been eating the Passover, right? Now skip down to 26.
"And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom."
See, that's what Melchizedek brought to Abraham, the Father's kingdom. That's what he brought. He entered, when Melchizedek met Abraham, he said, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's the Father. He said that. He said, you're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He said, I am the priest of the Most High God. Him who said, you are a priest after the order of Melchizedek. So whoever this Most High God is, he is a Chesedek. Or his name is Chesedek. Or there's a species called Chesedek. I'm just going to say it's a species called Chesedek. And I can be as safe to say that their language isn't what we speak. It's the language of them is not on the earth. But the closest language we have on the earth to a Chesedic or to a Chesedic language, the language that he taught Adam how to speak before the flood, before the dispersion of the tongues and all of that. The closest thing he had to a Chesedic speech right now in this world is numbers. Because numbers is the absolute truth. So the Chesedic speech had to include numbers. Because numbers will never lie. So that's the truth in their life, in this world. So we know that the Chesedics spoke absolute truth. And numbers is such as that. So, this is him. He said, I would not drink of this vine until my Father's kingdom. So what he did was, is brought Abraham, or introduced Abraham, the Father's kingdom. This was God. Him, this is him. This is the dude, Jesus Christ. Him. I'm not saying you can get lost in all in the white images and the black images. You can get lost in the J and all that. That's between you and him. I'm past all of that. What I'm into is right here is the work and what he's doing and who he is and grasping things. And right now, he just completed the tour de grâce. He introduced the Father kingdom to the creation. That is to say, I'm not going to drink of this vine until the Passover again in the creation of man. Which just will happen to be the ninth day of the creation of man, which is the last day in numbers, or it's the last number in a numeric system before you go to zero or you start over. See that? Why the Father come on the ninth day? Let's look at that. So he says this. Let's go into Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Because remember now, we're talking about the Son here, right? Hebrews chapter 1 and 1, when you receive the reading.
Hebrews 1 and 1 reads, God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power.
Wait a minute. The Father is looked 33 and a half years old. Because you said the express image. Express meaning Jesus, when he died, he was 33. He was called the first Adam, the second Adam. So if he's the second Adam, that lets me know that when Adam was created, he was 30 years old. He wasn't a two-year-old walking around in the planet with his little ding-dings running around and Google and Gaga and stuff like that. No, he was a full-grown man. And his mind had no restrictions. His mind was created without sin. So it was no way he could not conceive all things, the Jesus, the second Adam. Right? But the difference between, I'm going to tell you the difference between this Jesus, right? The second Jesus, which is God, right? And the first Adam, right? I'm going to tell you the difference between the first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam didn't have a navel. The second Adam did. But the second Adam is God. And the first Adam is man. So God came through a navel. And Adam never had one. Anyway, he was 35 and a half, 33 and a half years old. This is the express image of the Father, so to say, right? Continue.
Hebrews 1 and 3. who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels say he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire.
So the angels got a job that he made, like we researched a little bit of that. Now we're going to get, because this year wraps up that, the heaven part of it, right? So we, what we're dealing with today is going to pretty much wrap up the heaven part. We're going to go into what, now heaven, what's created of heaven. Now we got angels, so we're going to deal with them next. All right, because they're created from heaven, and they were around. Can I say that the heavens, the angels, was created for before the earth? I know the throne was, but can I say the angels was created before the earth? I can't. Because all you need was heaven to be created, for the angels to be created. But that you needed heaven to be created, for the earth to be created.
Hebrews 1 and 7. And of the angels he says, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he says, Thy throne, O God, is an everlasting, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness.
But what was the throne that he's, that he's talking about? He's talking about the one right here in verse 3. Read that 3 again.
Hebrews 1 and 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
See, that was his throne. So there it is. So now his throne is forever, right? So he sat down on something that's for eternal. So he never, that throne is his. You see, this is that thing. So now let's go back to that scripture again. I just want to point out where he get his throne from. You know, a lot of times we go past stuff we need to look at. Read on. Skip down to verse 8.
Just one on. Hebrews 1 and 8.
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 reads, But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hand. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doeth a garment. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and the years shall not fail, and thy years shall not fail.
See, he ain't gonna never look old. You know, old is a, it's like looking old is a curse. We were never meant to look old. We were only supposed to get to 30 and then be manufactured into new beings or something like that. You know what I'm saying? We were never supposed to turn anything to look anything past. So the glory of man or the power of man and the strength of man or woman, it has to be man, it has to be 30. His wisdom, everything, light, water, earth, everything kind of coincides. He's ready for the light. He's completed it. You know, I'm not speaking in Masonic terms. Please don't equate that with that. This is what we call body code. Light, water, earth, that's what we're dealing with right now, the light. Heaven is light. And this is where God is right now. So he said he stood right down the right hand of him. On the side of him of glory, and he said, have thrown of God, and said, have ever. So he gave him a scepter, which is judgment. He gave him a judgment seat. What is this judgment seat that he gave him? Let's go into Zechariah chapter 6. I think it is Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah 6 and verse 9.
Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 9 reads, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, think of them of the captivity, even of Heldai and Tobijah, and of Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, that Joshua, and the son of Jehozadak, the high priest.
See that? This is all the word of the Lord. So this is a vision. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, the word. So this is a vision. And this is the time that we came out of Babylon. And he said, take silver and gold and make crowns. Right? Not one. Plural, right? Where did he get these crowns from? Who is this? Right? He said, make crowns. Go into Revelation chapter 4. Revelation 4. And let's pick it up at verse 4.
Revelation 4 and 4 reads, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold.
So, yeah, 24 crowns there, right? Okay. You got 24 crowns here. Whoever this Jehozadak dude is, he had on crowns. Not one, he had on more than one. All right, so now, pick it up at verse 10.
Revelation 4 and 10 reads, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne.
See, they're not there no more. They took their crowns off their heads, so where are they? Right? They don't have them. So that's 24 crowns where? Before the throne. Right? Read that again.
Revelation 4 and 10. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
Okay, now going to let's go on to Revelation chapter 5 and verse, pick it up at 1. Let's read this whole deal. So this is a real connect. So we're connecting the physical to the eternal now, because when Jesus died, he actually connected both physical realms together, right? He did something nobody else could do. He connected time by blood, because he went from blood to eternal. Pick it up at 1.
Revelation 5 and 1 reads, and I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, filled with seven seals.
See, that's that book that was in the hand of the Father, right? And so that's one, that's a book itself. So when you in the great white throne judgment, man, your name just basically be in the book of life. Because you got a lot of books. And that's one. Read on.
And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book.
Just in case you guys want to be tripping out, he had just rose. It was the wave offering. The first Sabbath during the week of unleavened bread. All right, this is this conversation that day on the wave offering right here. This conversation is the wave offering deception. Read on.
Verse 4, and I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, have rebelled to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he had taken the book, the four beasts, and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb.
See, now they worshiping him.
And when he had taken the book,
right,
the four beasts.
That's what we read in Hebrews chapter 1. He said, now let all the angels of God worship him. And so the 24 elders worshiped him, which make them what? He said that all the angels of God worship him. The 24 elders fell down and worship him. That makes them what? Who can be in heaven?
No man.
He said there is no man in heaven.
That is you.
What am I getting this from? Okay. This is God. They're dealing with the great tribulation right now, which is a good concept. Considering the time window right now, that's a good look. Okay. Yeah, that's what we were saying. The angel of God deal with the great tribulation. All right. So he came and took the book out of him. That's when he said, sit down my right hand until I make that enemy that footstool. That's this conversation. All right. Thou art priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That's this conversation. This is him. This is Jesus Christ. Read on.
Revelation 5:7. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of oils, which are the prayer of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and have redeemed us to God, and have redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and have made us into our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
So, now this Melchizedek has solidified the priesthood for all of us. For all of us now that came up in the first resurrection are priests. This Melchizedek has made us kings and priests as well, and we shall rule on the earth with him. This is this thing. This is who he is. So he's in heaven right now. Melchizedek, this dude right now. We're going to eventually rule him. Our story ain't this yet. We're not there yet. That come on the sixth day. But this is a prelude because he said, let's create man in our own image. In the image of God created he, him, male or female created he, them. So the Melchizedek priesthood is the Levitical priesthood. That is to say, both. What do you mean? Because the Levite could not marry no one else but a Levite. The Melchizedek priesthood is about righteousness, about sinless. That's why they were virgins. If you ain't a virgin, you don't have a conversation. Seriously. This will make our country so burnt up. And we think we can talk, and we really should be quiet. Our world, you know, we creative, and I think we should continue those things, being artists and all those things, but to think that we in a better place in the 21st century is a lie. You got a ceiling in this world that they're going to let only X amount filter. It's like everybody just can't get on the Enterprise. You know how that we watched 2012? Everybody didn't even know that it was a ship there waiting. That was one. People didn't even know the end of the world was coming. That was the other thing. And they didn't even know that they could have saved themselves. You know. And those of us that did know, we jeopardized those things. We only thought of ourselves. That was a really tough moment. But he said that there stood a lamb as it was slain. So this lamb was a sacrifice in the temple here, in the temple that we read about. This lamb was a sacrifice in the temple for God. It was the wave offering. This it right here. So the wave offering not only joined man to God, but it also solidified the Melchizedek priesthood. Therefore, there are kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth with him. So now let's go into Revelation chapter 11, 19. Because remember now, the 24 elders threw they crowns at his feet, right? Okay. So let's go to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. When you receive it, read.
Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11 reads, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God."
Stop. Now you see this right here? He said, "I saw heaven open," right? Because that's what we're reading about, right? Heaven, right? Right? Okay, so John is telling us this is the same temple, right? But he saw him coming out the temple, right? He came out the temple, not just out of heaven. He came out the temple. It was already on fire with thunder and then lightning and stuff like that. We read that in Revelation chapter 15 Revelation 11 and 19, right? So he comes out on fire, ready to do war, with many crowns on his head. Where you get them from? The 24 elders, right? So there you go. You got 20. How many crowns on his head? 24, right? Who is this? Now go back to Zechariah chapter 6 to pick it up at 9.
Zechariah chapter 6, verse 9 reads, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Take of them of the captivity, even of Heldiah, of Tobijah and of Jediah, which are come from Babylon. And come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah.
See, that's us. We in Babylon now, right? That's us. So he's talking to us now. He's even saying that this extension is even to us, that we can become kings and priests. Watch this. Read on.
Verse 11. Then take silver and gold and make crowns.
How many?
Then take silver and gold and make crowns.
Is that a singular or a plural? That's a plural. Read that again.
Then take silver and gold and make crowns.
How many? How many?
24.
There you go. Now you see this conversation. This conversation is here, all right? This is why, this is when you read the book, when God, you read it and he can talk to you. But, read on.
Verse 12, and speaketh to him, saying, thou speakest the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord.
Wait a minute. But he ain't the one. He ain't no temple of the Lord coming from heaven. Just the city. He said it wasn't no temple in it. Remember? What is this then? What is he talking about here? Right? Well, let's go on to Ezekiel. Yeah, I want to back up a little bit. Ezekiel talked about it a little bit. Man, the Lord really dealt with Ezekiel for a lot of reasons. God knows, man. He wasn't the most faithful dude, but the Lord really dealt with him. Okay, drive on. Right. Ezekiel 41:1
reads, afterwards he brought me to the temple and measured the post 6 cubits broad on the one side and 6 cubits broad on the other side, which was the breadth of the tabernacle.
So you see here, he said he brought me to the temple. To this temple. Remember now, he said he's coming to a temple. So now Ezekiel gets to see the temple, right? So he starts showing what it was going to look like. Yeah, skip down to 4.
Verse 4. So he measured the length.
So this is being a building. He's going to build this. Whoever this is giving measurements. He's building it. And this is the temple he's going to walk in. Right? Where he getting these measurements from? That's another conversation, right? So we're going to look at that too. And read that again, verse 4.
Ezekiel 41:4 reads, so you measured the length thereof, 20 cubits, and the breadth, 20 cubits before the temple.
Skip down to verse 13.
So he measured the house, 100 cubits long, and the separate place, and the building, with the walls thereof, 100 cubits long.
So wait a minute. So we are dealing with numbers here. We are dealing with numbers. So the speech of the Chesedics are numbers, right? 42:1.
Ezekiel 42:1 reads, then he brought me forth into the utter court, and the way toward the north. And he brought me into the chamber that was over against the separate place, and which was before the building toward the north.
See that? That's where he's coming to. Now, go to Ezekiel 43:1.
Ezekiel 43:1 reads, afterward he brought me to the gate, even to the gate that looketh toward the east. And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory.
That's him. He the one that built the temple. He the one that came into it. That's him. That's him. Right? This is Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God. He's here on the planet with us, 33.5 years old. Let's keep that in mind. Right? And he's chill. He's just here with us. Now, you got to imagine, man, he's 33.5 years old. He's not really that out the box. You know what I'm saying? 33.5 years old is a real man out of here. I mean, you know, for a young man, you know, you really got to push his button, you know, unless he's out of control. And, you know, this is God Almighty, so we got that extra. But I'm saying this is him, right? So he comes from the east, like he said. Read on.
Ezekiel 43, in verse 2 again. And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east. And his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that I saw when I came to destroy the city. And the visions were like the vision that I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell upon my face.
Remember that he was, it was a whirlwind that he saw. He saw the angels inside of it, and he saw himself. He saw God sitting, the angels bent down in wings, and he saw God sitting on the throne that was on fire, and he saw him on fire. Now he's saying it's the same vision, right? And then he's saying now he see him going into the temple looking like that. Ooh. That's why I said he really was dealing with Ezekiel. You know what I mean? For whatever reason, man, he said Ezekiel a lot, right? Read on.
Ezekiel 43 and 4.
Yes.
And the glory of the Lord came into the house of the way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house.
That's the Holy Ghost. That's you. That's the temple. That's us. That's the temple of God. When the Holy Ghost fills us, man, ain't no fresh in there. So there ain't no way in the world you can tell me you're in the Spirit and you want some madness. Carnality is enmity against the spirit. That's Romans chapter 8, unless you don't call God a lie. But we go to the and say, the Holy Ghost is telling me this and that and the other, and I'm full of carnality. Really? No, I'm hoping we really get the grand scheme and all of that madness. Yeah. Right.
Verse 5. Ezekiel 43 and 5 reads.
He says, so the Holy Ghost filled this place up.
The Spirit took me in.
No, the Holy Ghost filled it up. The Holy Ghost is a witness, man, that you seen it or heard it or you talked to it. You know, and the Lord talked to me, he said, my name is Jesus. That's it. When I came out, I said, he said his name was Jesus. And I said, you're going to be a witness there. I was going to see God. That's spookery. He said, take no lit. Take no purse, no nothing. Because if you do, chances are you may be directing the spirit. Have you ever thought about that like that?
Like what?
I'm okay with the idea that a lot of us still use our scriptures, you know, and our notes. But the Holy Ghost is a witness that you don't need them. Can I get a witness? Can I get, I told you to be a witness of the Holy Ghost. Can I get a witness? Okay. All right. So the Spirit of the Lord filled the whole house. Now watch this. Watch this. Verse 7. Go ahead.
Here, 43 and 7.
No, read 6.
Ezekiel 43 and 6,
read 5.
Ezekiel 43 and 5.
There you go.
So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard him speaking to me out of the house, and the man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne, and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name, shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places.
See, Melchizedek said he ain't having it. I'm going to be here, right? But he's the priest of the Most High God, so the Most High isn't king yet. That's another conversation. This is the place that he's talking about, you know, when he ruled the earth in this time window, in Revelation chapter 20. All right, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4.
Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 reads, And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither have received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years.
There it is. The Melchizedek priesthood is established. And he said this, they're going to reign with him for how long?
1,000 years.
So now these are immortals. A day to them is 1,000 years. He said now their days are as the days of heaven. Why? Because the priesthood is from heaven. That's that thing. So the priesthood being from heaven, Melchizedek priesthood, and the Levitical priesthood is mimicking the Melchizedek priesthood to a degree. But right now, we're under the Melchizedek priesthood. When what happened was right here in Matthew's chapter 27. And 50. This is on the Passover.
27 and 50. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50 reads, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent.
So the veil of the temple on this planet was a done deal. So he's not talking about this one. So there's no more sacrifices for a bull and a goat. So the only thing that's left is bread and wine, because that's over with here. So now he just took us to another level. Now you and I, or anyone that get baptized in the 21st century, or from that first century until now, in the name of Jesus, guess what? They're part of this priesthood. This is that thing. Because the sacrifice of being bulls and of goats ended there. Nothing else left there. Now, we're dealing with the administration of bread and wine. Everything after this is bread and wine. You see? Now we up under the Melchizedek priesthood. He's in heaven right now. Now let's look at that. Let's go back to that Zechariah chapter 6. And he got all these crowns on his head before God because he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And David had a whole lot of crowns on his head, but not like this dude. This dude got him. He draped 24 crowns. That's stacking them. Zechariah 6 and 9.
Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 9 reads, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Take of them of the captivity, even of Heldai, Shobajah, and Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Josiah, the son of Jehoshadak, the high priest, and speak unto him, saying, Thou speakest the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both."
There was the Melchizedek priesthood right there. You see it? The Melchizedek priesthood is right there. So he's in the temple right now. But when New Jerusalem come down, there's no such thing as a temple. But right now, there's a temple. Why is that? That's a great question. There's a temple right now. There's a temple in heaven. The temple that was on the earth has been thrown down. The veil of the veil has split in half. So why do you have a temple in heaven right now? That's the question. Listen. "And the council of peace shall be between them both." Really? Really? "And the council of peace." So the Melchizedek priesthood is about what? He's the king of what? What is the council of these two right here? Peace. That's what it is. It's peace. So that's why he's the priest of the Most High God and the king of Salam or peace. Because that's his council is what? His council is what? Exactly. Read the 14.
So Zechariah and go down to 14.
Yeah, read 13.
Read 13
again. Read 13 again to the 15.
Zechariah 6 and 13. "Even he shall build a temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both."
That's that Psalms 110. He said, "Thou art priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." That's it. Go ahead.
"And the crown shall be to Helene, and to Jobajai, and to Jediah, and to Hen, the son of Zephaniah, for memorial in the temple of the Lord. and they that are far off shall come and build in the temple of the Lord. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass if ye will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God.
So, he said he's going to build a temple, he's going to sit on the throne, and he's going to be a priest. And the council of peace is going to be between them both. And he's going to build the temple of the Lord. And this is that thing, man. This is the one that we just got to read about in Ezekiel, right? That conversation. He's going to come in from the east. Go to Matthew 24. He's going to come in from the east, and he's going to do his thing. Matthew 24 and verse 26.
Matthew chapter 24 and verse 26 reads, "Wherefore they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be."
Ain't that when he said he walked into the temple from what? He came from the east, didn't he? So all this Western mindset, hey, you know, you need this, you need that, you need papers and all that. If you're a son of the east, that don't go here. You see, your word is born. That was what God was teaching us between Laban and Jacob. Word is born. That's it. You are law to yourself, or you'll defile yourself. We got that wrong. Continue. He said in verse
27 and 28. Verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
See, this is him too. He said, remember now, he said, now he said, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. He said, thou art priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, and sit thou at thy right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. That's them that he said that he's going to, that the carcass is going to be. And then he said this, he said, and you're going to lift the head. Well, of course. And then he said, the eagles are going to eat their flesh. That's him. That's Melchizedek. That's him that met Abraham. That's him that's sitting on the right hand of God right now. That's him that's here in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and start at the 1. And just read. Just listen, just watch how all this just come together. But we got to get, you got to really add a little extraterrestrial in here, because we're not talking about a species on Earth. We're talking about a species that don't exist. We're talking about Melchizedek. He literally don't exist. He literally don't exist. He came from nowhere. So we believe in something that literally don't exist. I'm right. And he's going to tell you that. Now, do that make us super stupid or super faithful? Read.
7 and verse 1 reads, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the king, and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually."
He don't exist, so why should we believe in him? That. Duh! You're telling me to believe in that? He just told you himself. I came from nowhere. I want you to believe that. He wants you to believe that I came from nowhere. He said, I have no lineage, no what? What else?
Without father,
without father,
without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life.
So he just came from where? You want me to believe that this dude came from nowhere? The question is, would you receive it if I told you that? Now, here's the thing between the truth and the absolute truth, right? Okay. If I told you that this dude came from nowhere, could you say no and that'd be absolute truth? You can't. You'd be found a liar because you can't. But if I told you he came from nowhere, you can't judge me. You have nothing to say. What you gonna judge me on? And who is my accuser? Right. Do you believe in him? Because his name is Jesus, not Jesus, not whether it's that Caesar Bogori or whatever his name, bogus. Caesar's bogus. But it is Jesus. It's Jesus, man. 21st century, like it or not. Genesis and Revelation, you can't change the script. Not one job, one tool, so no wife, death, and law to all be fulfilled. If you do that, you're in trouble. Your ass is grass. Anyway, so he's the priest of the Most High. I continue, watch this. So now he's going to lend his priesthood, the Melchizedek priesthood, over the Levi. Watch this. Read on.
Hebrews 7:4. Now consider how great this man was, and to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the son of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better.
Hey, I will no longer drink of this vine until my father's kingdom, right? And then he said this, he met Abraham, right? Let's go into John. John 8:56. In fact, no. Let's pick it up at verse 52. Because he started talking about living forever. And Israel was just stuck like, man, they just so obstinate. We're going to teach against immortality now, just to be obstinate. You know what I'm saying? Be bogus as fudge, man. Anyway, John 8:56. Yeah.
Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not 50 years old. And hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
That's another name of the Chesedek. He met him as I am, too. See, this is that thing. We're not listening to God. When God said, I'm the priest of the Most High God, he met Abraham. He said, I am. He told Abraham, don't you, it's no way in the world we didn't, Abraham did not know he was I am. He introduced himself to Abraham as Melchizedek. I am. And they were glad to see his day. Now let's go back to that Hebrews chapter 7. That's what he was talking about. And this is Paul. This has been found out. Really bald. And let's pick it up in verse 11. And continue.
Hebrews 7:11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of the Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth that art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
That's what we read in Psalms chapter 110 and verse 5. He said, sit thou at my right hand, thou art priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And now the council of peace between Jehoshaphat and Joshua here. Yeah. Remember now, we read in Revelations chapter 5:9-10, that he said, and he made us unto our God kings and priests, right? What about us? And then we read in Revelation chapter 20, he said, and if you come up in the first resurrection, you're going to be priests of the Most High God. Well, where they at here? You know what I'm saying? So this is the Melchizedek priesthood. If you come up in the first resurrection, you're going to be a part of this here. This thing. Renewal.
Verse 18, Hebrews 7:18. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this was an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Your concern is not mine if you don't believe in the name of Jesus. I know who he is. You can miss me. You can call on all that madness and never talk to me. What I see right here, Jesus is God. That's his name. And that's the name he revealed this to me in. Now you can run and skip it and claim it in the name of Yeshua or Yahweh or whatever madness you decide to lie in, but you know you didn't get it from yourself. This came through the name of Jesus. He's a witness to himself. He's testifying from Genesis to Revelation to the Bible that we're sharing right now. So you can turn around and you can add to the scriptures if you want to. That'll be to your damnation. Have at it. Say with those things that don't belong to him. He said, you add one thing to this, you better not change one jot or one tittle. Else you miss the smallest thing. If you change to something in here, then that changed history. That changed the books in a life. That changed all the books. You add one dot, you change all the books.
Let's read this a little further. Continue. Okay.
22, Hebrews 7 and 22 reads, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testimony.
There it is. See, I don't care what name you want to be tripping on, but right here I'm going with this here 1886 and 1611, right? 1611, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with the 1611, I'm going to go with 1611. I'm going to go with the ISIS, right? Or ISIS, whatever you want to call them. You know what I'm saying? Because the Jaden coming to the West. The 18th century, right? But then you want to say Yahshua, right? But the U didn't come into after the J. The J came in, no. See, you missed that. The J came in the 14th century.
Thank you. Sure.
Let's go into Hebrews chapter 9. No, keep reading. Yes. Keep reading.
Hebrews 7 and 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continues ever, had an unchangeable priesthood.
So this is the priesthood we under now, bread and wine, right? Go to Hebrews chapter 8 and 1.
Hebrews chapter 8 and 1 reads, now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heaven, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man.
That's where he is. That's Melchizedek. That's him. So whenever we approach him, we hear. That's what we are. We this area. You know what I'm saying? That look, Melchizedek is a dude. You don't get past him to the Father. So you can't diss Jesus because it's whatever he did say. You can say what you want to say. But if he said, if you believe me, then you believe everything I had written. And I ain't going to deny none of that. I'm not one dot. That's my hope on eternal. Can get that. So, 8 and 2, continue.
Hebrews 8 and 2. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched in that man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showeth in thee.
See, that's the tabernacle in heaven. This is the temple. This is the temple in heaven. He said, see, you make sure you do all this according to what you see, because this is what's going on up here with me. See that? Read on.
Verse 6. But now have ye obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a beacon. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful unto their...
Didn't he say we're going to be sitting on earth? Didn't he say the soles of my feet is going to be here? Right? And he said, now make sure you make all this according to the pattern where you see. So he's going to bring not only an alien entity into this planet, but he's going to bring immortality as well. Himself and those that come up with the first resurrection. Remember, we haven't gotten to them yet. Go right into Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9 and 1.
Hebrews 9 and 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which has the golden censer.
See, that's where the Father is now. That's what he called the holiest of all. And that's what Satan's saying that. Jesus had to clean that up with his blood. He sprinkled that place right there with his blood. That's what we read in Revelation chapter 5. He sprinkled it with his blood. The holy place, that's what Moses was doing, showing us that the most holy place was going to be defiled, and that it's going to take a lamb without blemish to clean it up. Here comes the Christ. Continue.
Hebrews 9 and 4, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant.
But who had the golden censer? You read in verse in Revelation chapter 5 that those were angels. So the priesthood is in heaven. It is in heaven. You see what I'm saying? And so it's being mimicked. Right now, the Melchizedek priesthood, we want to say the Levitical priesthood is not functioning. No, actually it is, and it always was. And once God wrote a law concerning it, it was always in function. So it's now in function, but it's in function under the Melchizedek priesthood. Continue.
Okay, verse 4 again, Hebrews 9 and 4, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant, and over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly.
No, because it's gone. Read on.
Now, when these things were thus ordained, then the priest went always.
I'm glad Paul brought that in remembrance. Hey, thanks to our fathers. That's throwing a brick without throwing a brick. Read on.
Hebrews 9 and 5. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone.
That was Jesus. That's when he went into heaven. So he cleaned up heaven, right? With his blood. That's what we read in Revelation chapter 5 and 9. Revelation 5, and he said this, he said, and I see a lamb slain in the midst, right? But this wasn't on the Passover. This was on the first day of the week that he saw that. That was the wave offering that was in Revelation chapter 5. Chapter 5, that's the wave offering, not the Passover. Whoops. That's why we got a priesthood in heaven. Because he still keeps these things. Read on.
But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people.
Yep.
The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, whereas the first tabernacle was yet standing. which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him, that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meat and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances, imposed on them until the time of Reformation.
See, everything was changed from the Levitical priesthood when the veil was split from top to bottom to that. Now we're under the Melchizedek priesthood, bread and wine. Now we can eat bread and wine if that's all you want to take on a Passover. That's between you and God. And then some of us want to have a feast. You can't judge us for that. We're not sacrificing a lamb. We're just eating it. Yeah. Okay, go ahead, read.
Verse 12.
Yep.
Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh.
What?
For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the
ashes
of a heifer sprinkling the unclean
is up.
Sanctified to the purifying of the flesh.
So we got clean once he died, and that was his blood that cleaned us. He was the sin offering, and that's when the priesthood kicked in. That's when the Levitical priesthood kicked in. You had the priesthood, you had the Levitical, you had the peace offering, you had the sin offering, you had the free will offering, and you had a sin offering. So dead, and that's what he do right now. Sometimes we give a peace offering. Sometimes we get a free will offering. You know, we just do. You know, free will is just, hey, I ain't gotta do it, but I do it. That's your free will. And your burnt offering is, hell, I really want to do this, but I don't. That's your burnt offering. Your peace offering is, hey, I just want to be a piece of God in my conscience. And sin offerings, we don't want to be putting too many of those up. So, 21st century, that's what this is. This is where we are. We're in the Melchizedek priesthood now. Where we at, because of the Levitical priesthood has been put away, because when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was split in two. Now the priesthood is now managed. God has made us on to our God, kings and priests. Out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, right? Read that Revelations chapter 9, chapter 5 and 10 from the bottom up. Watch this. Listen at the speech. This is like going left to right, people, what I'm just saying. Just listen at it. It's the exact same thing, but listen at what it says. Okay, Revelations chapter 9, verse 5, chapter 5 and 10, from the bottom up.
Revelation chapter 9?
No, 5.
Revelation chapter 5.
And verse 10.
And read 10.
From the bottom up.
Okay, so Revelation 5, verse 10, backwards, reads, earth be on rain. Shall we, and priest and king, God are unto us made have and.
Now read verse 9.
Verse 9. Nation and people and tongue and kindred, every of out blood, thy by God, to us redeemed have and slain was thou for thereof sealed the open to and book. The take to worthy art thou, saying, song new, a song they end.
You see that? And don't that make so much more sense? See that? You hear their stories, they make way more sense. Way more sense. He included them. With that being said, we're going to get ready to close out. We're up against the clock.
Well, I really, really want to thank you for Korea for stepping up. I know you have a very busy schedule. And I really want to thank you for taking the time out for us to get this word out. And thank you for helping. Is there anything that you'd like to add to this conversation?
I just want to thank the Father for allowing us to see another Saturday. Thank him for the breath of life. It's an honor to read for him. It's an honor to read for you. It's an honor to keep the Sabbath. Thank you. I thank the Father for the creation lesson. I thank him for just blowing my mind. It is never ending. You know, we're trying to find that secret place, that secret thing. And we're not going to truly know it until we stand before him. And he shows us. He teaches us that. So thank you. Thank you for today's Sabbath lesson. Thank you for allowing me to read for you. And I want to say for the most part,
amen. With all that being said, we want to wrap up this here series of heaven, because now we know what heaven is for. You know, it's for the Father and the Son. You know, to give and to show mercy upon us, right, on the earth. So it's from God in Christ what heaven is. For heaven was never meant for mankind, but for God and the angels. And that's where they are right now. And angels are performing the Levitical priesthood right now under the Melchizedek priesthood. When Satan sinned against God, he brought sin, and then, you know, Christ being the way of awesome came to death for us. It's all to it. You put whatever name you want to that, but the work is dead. Can't add to it. And the book they gave to us was the book of the name of Jesus. Yeah. Not in other words. So with that being said, let me see.
Everybody got their hands up.
Shabbat shalom. Grace and peace to the family. Sorry for the interruption today. I kind of lost track of time. It's Brother Keith. I want to say excellent reading, Sister Rhea. The Lord knows where your heart is, and your heart was in the right place for helping out Brother Job with the lesson today. Excellent teacher today, Brother Job. Your heart was in the right place as well. I pray that the Lord continues to shine his light upon us and that we move forward tonight and never look back to what we've done, but learn from our sins and keep his commandments. So it was an excellent lesson, an excellent reading. Grace and peace to the family, and with that, I close.
Amen. Thank you, Prince. Appreciate that. And Mr. Ray, you also appreciate that.
Thank you.
Ready to close out. I want to say once again, Ray, thank you for a great job reading. Thank you for great elaboration and definitely helping us see through all the scriptures. But I know we're coming along. So those of us that just told in, you can listen to that later. But let me just say Shabbat Shalom and God bless.
Shabbat Shalom. Peace. Have a blessed Sabbath day, and everybody read your Bibles at all times.
Radio show. We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost. It's time to be awakened. Come out of this world. It's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking.
under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.